May the written word and the spoken word lead us to the living word. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. If there are some uncomfortable pauses during this sermon, I managed to break my glasses last week, and I'm using an old pair. They look like glasses, but they don't perform quite like glasses in that I often can't see. So I will appreciate your prayers for the sermon and especially for the baptism when I kind of need to be able to see. If I accidentally baptize the wrong person, please let me know, okay? And we'll rectify that right away. Someone from our parish forwarded me a joke a few weeks back. It's an old one, but I think appropriate for the occasion. A pastor was giving the children's message during church, and he was using squirrels as an object lesson on industry and preparation. And he said, "I'm going to describe something, and I want you to raise your hand when you know what it is." And the children nodded. He said, "This thing lives in trees." He paused. "It eats nuts." He paused again. No hands are going up. "It's gray." Pause. "It has a long, bushy tail." Pause. The children are looking at each other, but no hands are going up at all. And it jumps from branch to branch, and it chatters and it flips its tail when it's excited. Finally, one little boy tentatively raised his hand, and the pastor breathed a kind of a sigh of relief, and I called on him, and the boy said, "Well, I know the answer must be Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel." Of course, we understand why the boy was a little confused. We talk about Jesus a lot in church, don't we? And that's okay, because the four Gospels talk almost exclusively about Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today's Gospel is no exception. It begins with a question from Jesus about Jesus. "Who do people say that I am?" This is Jesus' simple question. It's a very old question, but it's still being asked and it's still being argued over today. At the time of Jesus' ministry, people very much disagreed over who he was. Some thought that he was a prophet come back from the afterlife, maybe John the Baptist, whose death had just been recorded two chapters earlier in Mark's gospel. Some thought maybe Elijah from the Old Testament. Others thought not that he had come back from the dead, but that he was a man with a calling, speaking in the tradition of the Hebrew prophets of the days of old. And it was a big debate in which everyone had an opinion, but nobody knew for sure. Sounds a lot like modern social media, doesn't it? Then Jesus asks another question. "Who do you say that I am?" Now, this one is a lot harder, because it required them to commit themselves, and this one got personal. The question, "Who do people say that I am?" that can be answered anywhere. You can talk about that in a seminary classroom or in an online forum or at the coffee shop or in your living room. But the best place to answer the question, "Who do you say that I am?" is right down here at the baptismal font. And that's why I'm so glad that we happened to plan a baptism on the Sunday that the lectionary gave us this beautiful text. Because that is why we are here today. We're here to hear the answers of six people, along with their parents and sponsors, to the question, "Who do you say that I am?" In the text, we have three different answers to this question. We have the answer of Peter, we have the answer of Mark, and we have the answer of Jesus himself. Let's start with Peter. Peter says, "You are the Messiah." A lot of you know this, but Messiah is Hebrew for anointed one. You may remember, it's the Greek word Christ. And you may remember in the Old Testament how when David became king of Israel, they poured oil on him and anointed him with this oil as a sign of God's special work in him and through him. That's just what they did to Jewish kings back in those days. And it was the key moment in their enthronement ceremony. And so by calling Jesus the anointed one, Peter is saying that God's stamp is on Jesus as king and ruler. And elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus actually tells Peter, you're right. Peter, you're absolutely right. God's stamp is on me as a king and a ruler, but it won't look like what you think. So that's Peter's answer. Then there's Mark's answer. Mark says a little bit later, a few verses later, he says, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer. So he uses a different word, not Messiah, but Son of Man. This term is a little less familiar to us. You might not know much about this phrase. It is used a few times in the Old Testament, but the most famous place is in the book of Daniel, chapter 7. And in Daniel chapter 7, the prophet has this vision. And you know, the vision looks like something out of one of those weird rock videos from like the 70s or the 80s, well, the 80s or the 90s. It's just a strange kind of a vision. There are four different beasts that rise up out of this stormy sea. There's a lion that has eagle's wings. There's a bear. There's a leopard. And finally, there's this strange beast with iron teeth and 10 horns. And later, the text tells us that each of these beasts represents a different world empire, likely ones the people were familiar with at that time. Scholars think maybe Babylon and Media and Persia and Greece. And all these empires in this vision are powerful and destructive. And that's probably why they were represented by powerful and fearful animals. But then, suddenly, another ruler is standing before Daniel. This one has no horns, no teeth, no claws, no wings. The text just simply describes him as being like the Son of Man. There's the term that Mark has used to describe Jesus. And he doesn't look fearsome or frightening. He just looks human. And his power doesn't come from himself. It doesn't come from sharp claws or teeth or anything like that. His power comes from God. And it says that he is led in Daniel, he is led into the presence of the Almighty, where he represents the people of God who are suffering. And you read this and you just see that this must be a special person. It was widely believed at this time that no human could possibly stand in the presence of God. But here in Daniel 7 is one who can. And it says he's given authority, glory, and all the people of the earth worship him. This is a human, but this is clearly no average, everyday, normal kind of human. And so this is who Mark says that Jesus is. You are the Son of Man, this special, amazing human. Then we have Jesus' answer. And Jesus' answer builds on Peter's answer, and it builds on Mark's answer. And he explains to the disciples that yes, he is a king. Yes, he is both the Messiah and he is the Son of Man. But his kingdom will be completely different than all the kingdoms described in Daniel or any other kingdoms that the world has ever seen. Because instead of being a ruler who causes suffering for others, Jesus will take the sufferings of others onto himself. He patiently explains to his disciples how he would suffer and he would actually be killed. And then he would conquer death by rising again. And he's telling them that his would be a revolution not of brute force, but of radiant, loving self-sacrifice. What a beautiful picture. Gorgeous picture. But Peter doesn't like it. Peter wants Jesus to grab hold of power, to seize it by the traditional manner, through brute force. But Jesus insists, and he even rebukes Peter. You heard it read by Tim just a few moments ago. And he goes on, and this is where this becomes so important for us and for this baptism today. He tells them, if anyone wants to follow me, they must be willing to act like me. That is, we need to be willing to come into our little corner of the world with that same sense of love and self-sacrifice as Jesus, as the Son of Man, as the Messiah. He says you even have to be willing to die if that's what it takes. That's what's meant by take up your cross. And I know that sounds awfully heavy, but that's what the text says. And that brings us to our baptismal commitments this morning. And as Miss Wendy said, baptism is not just for the candidates, it's for all of us. We all have the chance this morning to renew our own baptismal covenants. And as they make their commitments, we who are already baptized renew our own commitments. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And in the service of baptism, and you'll hear it in the liturgy, we are being asked the exact same question. And our answer is the same too. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of Man. You are the healer of the nations, and you are God himself in human form. He also asks us this morning, will you take up your cross and follow me? Mark Twain famously noted that most people are bothered by those passages of scripture that they do not understand, but the passages that bother me are the ones I do understand. N.T. Wright picks this up, speaking of this passage. This is a challenge to all of us, as the church in every generation struggles not only to think, but to live from God's point of view in a world where such a thing is madness. This is the point at which God's kingdom, coming on earth as it is in heaven, will challenge and overturn all normal human assumptions about power and glory, about what is really important in life and in the world. Take up your cross and follow. This is a big, big ask by Jesus. But for all of us who renew our own baptismal vows today, the answer is clear. We declare ourselves willing to join with Jesus in living out his revolution of love, God helping us. Thanks be to God.